before then. I did some mindless things, cleaned the bedroom, threw a load of laundry in. Anything then to have him see me break down. Thea was watching me from her exer-saucer as I ran around my room like a maniac. Justin walked in as I was vacuuming my rug. I wouldn't look up at him as I moved the vacuum back and forth. Amelia? I pushed it along the carpet faster. Amelia! He yelled. I finally looked at him. He must have seen the sadness in my eyes because his expression slowly darkened. I just stared at him as the vacuum continued to run, even though I'd stopped moving it. A teardrop fell down my cheek, and I knew I had officially lost my ability to hide my feelings. He slowly approached and shut off the vacuum, his hand lingering over mine, which was still gripping the handle.
"I've been waiting to have coffee with you," he said.
"I need to have breakfast with you and Bea one last time before I leave. It's my favorite thing in the world." I wiped my eyes. "Okay. It's fucking okay to be sad. Stop trying to hide it from me. I won't hide it either." His voice cracked a little. "I'm so fucking sad right now, Amelia. The last thing I want to do right now is leave you guys. But time is running out. Don't waste it hiding from me." He was right. Sniffling, I added, "Let's go have coffee." Justin lifted Bea into his arms as he closed his eyes tightly and breathed in her scent as if he wanted to burn it into memory. When he pulled back, he lifted her up into the air as she looked down at him.
"Are you my bumblebee?"
She smiled at him, and if that didn't feel like a knife to the heart, I don't know what did. My emotions were all over the place again. A part of me was still selfishly angry at him. "How could you leave us? Why haven't you told me you love me? Why haven't you told Bea you love her? You don't love us." A bigger part was angry at myself for even having those kinds of thoughts again. I was coming to realize that it wasn't so much the fact that he was leaving that bothered me, as it was the fact that he was leaving me so unsure about where things really stood with us. He treated me as if he loved me, but even when we were acting like a family, he never defined our relationship, never even labeled me his girlfriend. As Justin prepared the mugs of coffee like he always did, I followed every move he made and couldn't help but wonder what the next time I'd watch him make coffee would be like. When he handed me my cup, I put on the best smile I could. I didn't want him to leave thinking of my sad face. Just as I was trying like hell to put on a happy facade, his own expression turned sullen. "What is it, Justin?"
"I just feel helpless. If you need anything, I told Tom you might call him from time to time. I left his number on the fridge. He said, any time, day or night, don't hesitate. Call him instead of that tool next door, please. I also installed a new alarm system."
He waved a hand, leading me to the door.
"Come on, I'll show you how to use it."
Everything he was saying was muffled as my eyes followed his fingers, hands, and lips as he explained how to maneuver the alarm control pad. His voice was fading into the background, losing the battle with my accumulating panic. Justin took notice and stopped talking.
"You know what? I'll email you the instructions."
He stared at me for a bit before pulling me into an embrace. He held me for what seemed like several minutes, slowly rubbing my back. There wasn't anything we could do to slow down time. I watched from the window as Justin loaded his luggage into the back of the Range Rover. When he came back inside, we took a quick but quiet walk on the beach with Bea. At one point, I stayed behind as Justin took Bea closer to the shore. He whispered something in her ear. That made me curious, but I never asked him what he'd said to her. Once we returned to the house, it was time for Justin to leave. The morning had flown by way too fast. It almost seemed unfair. Trying to suppress my tears, I said, "I can't believe this moment is finally here." Miraculously, I was able to keep the crying at bay, because, mostly, I was in shock. The best thing I could do for him right now was to reassure him that I would support him while he experienced this new chapter. Let him know that I would be there for him in the very way we started, as a friend. I returned his own sentiments from earlier. The same goes for you, Justin. If you need me, or you get lonely, or maybe you're feeling doubtful, you call me day or night. I'll be here. Justin was still holding Bia as he placed his forehead on mine and simply said, "Thank you." We stayed like that for a while with Bia sandwiched in the middle of us. Still wanting to avoid breaking out in tears, I forced myself away. "You'd better go. You'll miss your flight." He kissed Bia's head gently, then said, "I'll call you when I land in Minneapolis." Bia and I stood in the doorway, watching as he walked away. He got in the car and started it, but didn't move. He looked over at us as we continued to wait. Bia was reaching out her hand to him and babbling. She obviously had no clue what was going on. Why wasn't he moving? He suddenly got out of the car, slamming the door. My heartbeat accelerated with each step he took toward me. Before I could ask him whether he'd forgotten something, his hand wrapped around the back of my head, pulling me into him. He opened his mouth wide over mine, plunging his tongue inside and twirling it around at an almost desperate pace as he groaned into my mouth. He tasted like coffee and a flavor all his own. This was not the time to be getting aroused, but I couldn't help my body's reaction. When he forced himself back, his eyes were hazy, filled with just as much confusion as passion. I had to once again remind myself of the old adage of setting someone free, that if they come back, they're yours. If they don't, they never were. "Please come back to me." He said nothing else as he walked back to the car, started it, and this time drove off. Chapter 18. Blind Faith. That was the only thing helping me get through the first month with Justin away. Somehow, I just had to convince myself to trust his actions and judgment, even though I couldn't be there to see what was actually happening. He called us every night. Sometimes it would be during what he referred to as his relaxation time, around 8 p.m., right before their 9 p.m. performances. Other times, it would be during his lunch or dinner break. From what he'd told me, his daily itinerary was jam-packed with sound checks and rehearsals at each new venue. The only downtime was after the show, and by then, he was roped into after-parties or just plain exhausted. If the band stayed more than one night in the same city, they would all check into a hotel. If they had to be in another locale the next day, they would drive through the night and sleep on the bus. There were two buses, one for Calvin and the main band, and one for Justin and the rest of the crew. According to Justin, each bus slept about 12 people. I never asked him which bus Olivia slept in, because I was afraid of the answer. Blind faith. Okay. Well, even though I chose to have faith in him, I still discovered a little window into their world that would satisfy my episodes of paranoia. It came in the form of Olivia's Instagram page. Back when Jade lived at the beach house and used to complain about Olivia's commenting on all of Justin's posts, I searched his page to check out Olivia's profile. I'd stalked her online occasionally, even before Justin left. Now, each day, she would post pictures from the tour. Many were just scenic shots, like the sunrise taken from the bus as they entered a new city, or whatever the band and crew happened to be eating. Other shots were of Calvin and his band backstage. One particular night, when Bia was sleeping, I opened up Instagram. Olivia posted a picture of Justin performing. It was just a standard shot of him, leaning into the microphone with a spotlight shining down onto his beautiful face, which was framed by that 5 o'clock shadow. It made me long to be there, to see him perform on the big stage. When I looked lower, I noticed the hashtags. Hashtag Ladykiller. Hashtag Justin Banks. Hashtag used to tap that. Hashtag X's of Instagram. Despite the fact that it bothered me, I refused to bring it up to him, refused to play the role of jealous girlfriend, especially when he hadn't labeled me his girlfriend at all. A knock at the door startled me. I shut my laptop. Who would be coming by this late? Thankfully, in addition to the alarm system, Justin had drilled a peephole into my door before he left. A woman with long brown hair like mine was standing there shivering. She looked innocent enough, so I opened the door. "Can I help you?" "Hi," she grinned. "Amelia, right?" "Yes. I wanted to introduce myself. My name is Susan. I live in the blue house next door." "Oh, did Roger move?" "No, I'm actually his wife."
"Wife?"
"Oh, I thought he was divorced," she smiled.
"Yeah."
"He is, technically. We reconciled when he came to Irvine to visit our daughter recently. It was supposed to be a one-week visit, but it turned into 3 weeks. Alyssa and I ended up coming back here with him."
Really surprised by this news, I said, "Wow, I had no idea. That is fantastic." I waved my hand.
"My gosh, where are my manners? Come in, come in."
"Thank you," she said, wiping her feet and entering the house.
"Our daughter is sleeping now, but I'd love for you to meet her as well. She just turned 8.
"My daughter, Bia, is also sleeping. She's almost 9 months."
"Roger mentioned you had a baby."
"I've heard so much about Alyssa as well."
"Roger also mentioned that you and he were friendly."
"We're just friends, in case you were wondering." She hesitated.
"It's okay if it was more than that. We weren't together at the time."
"No, it wouldn't be okay. At least for me, it wouldn't. I would want to know. I understand what it's like to wonder about stuff like that when you care about someone." A look of relief washed over her face.
"Well, thank you for clarifying. I'd be lying if I said that I hadn't wondered."
"I'm sort of in love with my roommate, actually. He's currently on tour. A musician. I totally understand jealousy." She pulled up a chair and sat down.
"Oh, man. You want to talk about it?"
"Do you drink tea?"
"I do. I'd love some."
Susan and I became fast friends that night. I opened up to her about my history with Justin, and she offered to help me out with Bia if I ever needed a babysitter. She said Alyssa would get a kick out of watching Bia with her. It made me thankful that nothing ever did happen between Roger and me, because that would have made things awkward. I had to admit, when she first showed, finding out that Roger was back with his wife made me feel even more alone. But that selfish thought was quickly replaced by the happiness brought on by a newfound female friendship, something my life had been seriously lacking. Susan and I hung out regularly. She encouraged me to try new things and to get out more. I joined a Mommy and Me class with Bia and started utilizing the daycare at the gym to be able to work out a few times a week. I was doing the best I could in developing a new routine with Justin gone. The daylight hours were becoming more bearable. Nighttime was the tough part. With Bia asleep and Justin busiest in the evenings, I always felt the most alone when darkness fell. Late one night, around midnight, a text came in. "Justin, we're in Boise. One of the crew members is from here and brought his baby into the bus before the show tonight. It made me miss Bia even more." "Amelia, we miss you too." "Justin, the tour is stopping in Worcester, Massachusetts in a couple of weeks. What are the chances you could come see me?" That was only a little over an hour away from me. It would be the closest and only tour stop anywhere near Newport for the remainder of his time away.
Amelia. I don't think the noise and environment would be good for Bea, but maybe I can find a sitter. It was likely that Susan could watch Bea for me, but I specifically hadn't told Justin about her for selfish reasons. I quite liked his jealousy toward Roger. It was the only upper hand I had at the moment. So I decided to keep the information of the reconciliation to myself for a while. Justin.
I agree. It would be too loud and crazy for her.
Amelia. I'll work on it.
Justin. It's only one night, unfortunately. The bus leaves for Philly sometime after the show.
Amelia. Fingers crossed I can make it.
Justin. It's not just Bea I miss.
My heart fluttered.
Amelia.
I miss you too.
Justin. Sweet dreams.
Amelia.
X.O.
Since it was unclear whether I would be able to secure a babysitter in order to see Justin in Massachusetts, he'd sent me a laminated backstage pass that would allow me exclusive access in the event something came through at the last minute. He said he wasn't sure he'd be available to greet me if and when I arrived. Having the card would be a safer bet in case he was in the middle of a sound check or even in the middle of performing, depending on how late I got there. I wasn't going to know until the last minute whether I would be able to make it, since my only babysitter option was Susan. She happened to have an important appointment in Boston that day that she couldn't cancel. Depending on traffic, she wasn't sure if she'd make it back in time. It was the day of the concert, and I was getting really antsy. I'd toyed with the idea of driving up there with Bea during the day, but that was no longer an option, since she'd come down with a cold. Taking her out in the freezing weather and to a crowded venue like that was not a good idea. She could catch pneumonia. By the time evening rolled around, Susan called from the road to say that she'd gotten stuck in traffic and hadn't even made it out of Boston's Ted Williams Tunnel yet. At that point, I knew I would miss the start of the show if I were lucky enough to make it at all. I was honestly heartbroken. This was my one chance to see Justin for the entire tour. It didn't seem fair. Nevertheless, I had gotten myself dressed up anyway, continuing to hold out hope. Donning a short and tight satin blue dress with black lace accents, I looked more like a lingerie model than a stay-at-home mom. In the event that I got to see him tonight, I wanted to knock his socks off. I was, after all, competing with an entire world of models and groupies vying for his attention. That thought made my stomach turn as I curled my hair into long, loose tendrils and put on my matte plum lipstick. Something told me all of this effort was in vain, but I needed to be prepared to fly out the door if Susan ever made it back here. When the clock struck 8, it became clear I was going to miss his performance no matter what happened. At 8:45, Justin called right before he had to report to the stage.
"No luck?" he asked.
"I'm so sorry. I wanted to make it work so badly, but she's not here yet. There's no way I'll get there in time tonight." My voice was shaky, but I refused to cry, or else my mascara would have run down my face.
"Fuck, Amelia. I'm not gonna lie. This is a major disappointment. I was looking forward to seeing you so much." "It was what got me through this week." "Of course, I understand, though. Bea comes first. Always. Kiss her for me."
"I hope she feels better." We stayed on the line, the disappointment heard loud through our silence, and the long sigh of frustration that escaped him.
I heard a man's voice before Justin said, "Shit, they're calling me."
"Okay. Have a good show."
"I'll be thinking of you the whole time."
Before I could respond, the line went dead. 15 minutes later, there was a frantic knock at the door. When I opened it, Susan was panting. "Go, go, Amelia." "It might be too late. The show will be over when I get there."
"Yes, but you'll get to see him before they take off, right?"
"I think so. I'm not sure exactly when the bus leaves for the next city.
Don't waste time talking to me. Just tell me where Bia is.
She's sleeping. I left a long note with instructions on the counter.
I've got it, she waved me off. Go get your man, Amelia.
Blowing her a kiss, I said,
I owe you big time. Thank you for this. It had been a while since I last drove on the highway at night. The beginnings of a panic attack started to creep in as I sped up I-95. Trying to focus on seeing Justin and not the cars whizzing past me, I was able to keep the panic from escalating into a full-blown attack. The GPS served as my co-pilot because I had no idea where I was going. This part of Massachusetts was completely foreign to me. Sweat permeated my body as I got closer. Even though it was cold out, I turned on the air conditioner for circulation to calm myself. What was I doing? The show was over. I hadn't texted him. I told myself it was because I wanted to surprise him. But a part of me wanted to see what things were like when he wasn't expecting me. Parking in the large lot outside of the venue, I wrapped my arms around myself. I'd rushed out of the house so fast, I'd forgotten a coat. Running in my high-heeled boots, the same ones I'd worn with my Catwoman costume, I made my way to a tall chain-link fence which separated the VIP area from the parking lot. Two black tour buses with tinted windows sat just inside the gate. A guard wearing a headset stood at the entrance. Groups of women gathered nearby, probably hoping for a glimpse of the artists. My breath was visible in the night air as I flashed my special badge and spoke to the guard. Is the show over?
Almost. Calvin is in the middle of the last set.
Where can I find Justin Banks? He gave me this access card.
Justin is in bus 2. That's the one on the right.
My heart was hammering against my chest as I made my way through the gravelly lot to the bus. I opened the door. To my surprise, no one seemed to be inside. That was what I assumed, until noises coming from the back bedroom proved otherwise. There were several coffin-like beds on the sides, but Justin had mentioned that each bus had one master suite in the back. The crew and he alternated who got to sleep in it each night. A lump formed in my throat as I approached the closed wooden door. The sound of a woman moaning could be heard from behind it. The guard had said Justin was in here. I had to know. I had to open it. I had to see it with my own eyes. My faith might have been blind, but it was about to get an eyeful. Slowly turning the knob, I inched the door open a crack. All I saw was a mane of dark hair. A woman was riding him as he lay flat. It looked like Olivia, but I didn't know for sure. It could have been any woman. It didn't matter who it was. They didn't notice me. My stomach started to turn and bile was rising. I couldn't look anymore. I just couldn't. Exiting the bus, my legs felt wobbly. Too shocked to cry, I walked in a daze as numbness consumed me. My vision was blurry. My heart felt like it was cracking slowly with each step out of the bus. Was I an idiot for thinking he would wait? That he could withstand the enormous temptation being thrown in his face every day? He never made any promises, and that was for good reason. You're a fool, Amelia. I would have expected to be crying, but for some reason, the shock seemed to freeze my tear ducts. My eyes felt raw, cold, devoid of any ability to produce moisture. My phone chimed from an incoming text.
I missed you tonight so fucking much.
Chapter 19. What? How could he be texting me while he's fucking someone else? Adrenaline rushed through me, taking my nerves on a roller coaster ride of emotions. Amelia, are you on the bus?
Justin. No. At Dave and Buster's down the road from the venue, getting a drink. How's Bia feeling?
It wasn't him. It wasn't him fucking that girl on the bus. Clutching my chest, I let out the breath that seemed to have been trapped inside, suffocating me a moment earlier. It felt like I'd been shot with a tranquilizer gun full of euphoria.
Amelia.
Still has a cold. She's with my friend Susan because I'm here. Right outside your bus.
Justin. Holy fuck! Don't move! I'm heading back.
Rubbing my hands over my arms, I stood waiting in the cold for at least 10 minutes. The two people who'd been screwing inside of the bus suddenly exited. The man was good-looking, but he was no Justin. I also confirmed that the female participant definitely wasn't Olivia. A crowd of women suddenly gathered toward the entrance. The guard could be heard saying, "Back, back, let him by." It was then that I saw Justin break through the swarm of people. He passed through the chain-link fence and was looking around frantically before his gaze locked in on me. The commotion around us seemed to dissipate as he walked toward me and enveloped me in his arms. I practically melted into him. He smelled like a mixture of cologne, smoke, and beer. It was intoxicating and made me want to bathe in it. I wanted him all over me.
"You're cold as ice," he whispered into my ear.
"Just hold me. Keep me warm."
"I really need to do more than hold you right now."
He pulled back to take me in, giving my outfit a once-over.
"Fuck," he growled. "Don't take this the wrong way, but why do you look like a whore?"
"I was dressing for the occasion. Too much?"
"Hell no. This is just what I needed. It just pisses me off that you were waiting around for me in public dressed like that. The fucking guys around here are worse than the girls."
"Anyone mess with you?"
"No."
Looking down at myself, I said, "I'm sorry if it's too much. I just figured I had to compete with all those groupies."
"Don't apologize. But you don't have to compete with anyone, Amelia. You never did."
He put his forehead on mine, and time seemed to stand still.
"When I was performing tonight, all I could think about was how badly I wished you were here. I was at the bar drowning my sorrows when you texted. I still can't believe you made it."
He took in a deep breath of the skin on my neck.
"I'm hard as a rock just smelling you right now. We need to go somewhere to be alone. We don't have a lot of time before the buses leave."
"Where can we go?"
He placed his hands on my cheeks. "Fuck. I just want to take you with me on the bus. Spend the night with you until the sun rises over the next city."
"I would love that so much. I'm sorry I can't be the kind of girl that can just go on tour with you."
"You have bigger things to be taken care of. By the way, you sure this friend watching Bia is someone you can trust?"
"Yes. I wouldn't be here otherwise."
He rubbed my shoulders. "Stay right here. Let me just go check what time we're leaving Massachusetts."
I waited as Justin ran to the other tour bus. When he returned, he looked anxious.
"We have exactly 2 hours before the buses take off for Philly. I would introduce you to the band, but they'll tuck your ear off, and I really don't want to waste this time."
"What are we going to do?"
"They just told me there's a small hotel down the road. We can go there to be alone if you want. If you prefer, we can stay here, but then we'd have to socialize."
"Being alone sounds good to me."
Justin brushed his thumb along my cheek. "Good choice."
He took the keys from me and drove us to the hotel in my car. During the ride, he held my hand tightly and didn't let go. At one point, he flashed me a sexy side glance.
"God, you look good."
I joked. "Even though I look like a cheap groupie?"
"Especially because you look like a cheap groupie."
He winked. His gaze returned to the road for a bit before his voice lowered.
"I wasn't prepared for how lonely this tour was going to be. Seeing you makes me realize it even more."
We pulled into the hotel, and Justin checked us in and got us a key card.
We had exactly 1 hour and 45 minutes before he had to report back to the bus. The room was dark, but neither of us turned on the light. Unsure of what was supposed to be taking place here, I waited for him to take the lead after the door clicked shut behind us. He slowly prowled toward me, then pressed his chest against mine.
"Jesus, your heart is pounding. Are you nervous to be alone with me or something?"
Nuzzling my neck, he added, "The way I'm feeling right now, maybe you should be." Scared to admit what was really eating away at me, and also not wanting to ruin the mood, I remained silent, just staring at him before my gaze dropped to the floor. He took my chin in his hand.
"Look at me."
When our eyes met, he said,
"I haven't been with anyone else, Amelia. In case there was any question in your mind, I don't want anyone else. I hope you don't either."
"How did you know what I'd been thinking just now?"
"I guess I'm just in tune to you like that.
Had a feeling you needed that reassurance.
I don't want you wondering any more about that."
He kissed me on the forehead.
"Now that we got that out of the way, I do need to be honest with you about something."
I swallowed the lump in my throat. "Okay?"
"I somehow thought I could handle 5 months with no sex, but the reality is, I'm feeling more like an animal in heat than a celibate monk."
I laughed.
"Oh, really?"
My tone turned serious. "Maybe I can help. Tell me what you need."
"Confession,"
he said over my lips.
"I didn't exactly take you here so we could talk."
I kissed him. "Confession. I didn't exactly dress like a dirty groupie so you could sing to me." His mouth was against mine as it curved into a wry smile. Within seconds, he took my face in his hands before his lips swallowed mine whole.
A stifled moan escaped from me into his starving mouth as our tongues moved frantically to taste one another.
I loved the controlled way he always grabbed my face when he kissed me.
This time was different from any other moment we'd been together, because it lacked any trace of caution or hesitation. He was unapologetically taking what he wanted, and I was fully letting him. We were both on the exact same page, surrendering to what our bodies needed, and nothing was off limits. If it weren't for the fact that he was leaving in an hour, this would have been like a dream come true. But we were on borrowed time, and we both knew it. His hands slid slowly down my back as he grabbed my ass, pushing me against his erection and kissing me hard. He sucked my bottom lip before releasing it slowly.
"Last chance to stop me."
"Make every second count," I said, in between kisses. "For the next hour, my body is yours, Banks."
"I've only waited a decade to hear you say that."
That was where the conversation ended. Justin pressed his rock-hard chest into me, pushing me into the window. My back was against the glass as he began to kiss me so hard that my lips hurt from the suction. My hands took on a mind of their own, eager to explore him. I threaded my fingers through his hair, rubbed my palms down his chest, gripped his ass. Overwhelmed, I wished I could touch every single part of him at once.
"It's going to be a while before we get to do this again. We need to make it last,"
he said, as he fisted my hair and bent my head back. He kissed down my neck slowly.
"Don't ever forget that I respect the hell out of you,"
he said, as he stuck his hand up my dress and grabbed onto my panties.
"Why do you say that?"
"Because I'm about to fuck you full of disrespect."
He ripped my underwear off, the elastic burning my thighs from the friction. My pussy was already wet and ready for whatever he had in mind. Whereas before, he had gently kissed down my throat, now he was sucking hard on the skin at the base of my neck. I felt two of his fingers slip inside of my opening. His mouth stilled on my neck the moment that they were fully deep inside me. He said something unintelligible as he shook his head slowly in ecstasy
before suddenly flipping me around so that I was facing the glass. He pulled his fingers out, and almost immediately I felt the burn of his cock replacing them as he sunk into me.
"Fuck," he muttered. I hadn't expected him to take me so soon. From the sound he let out when he was all the way inside of me, I don't think he even expected to lose control so fast.
Felt painfully pleasurable as my skin stretched to open for him. Justin's cock was thick. I'd always admired its girth, but it was another experience altogether to actually feel how completely he filled me, skin to skin. He hadn't put a condom on, which surprised me. I was too weak to question it, enjoying the raw sensation too much to think about anything else. But I'd come prepared.
"Please tell me you're on the pill. I've never done it like this before, but I don't think I can stop either way. It feels too damn good."
I'd never seen him lose control like this. "I am. I just started taking it. Don't worry."
"Thank fuck." His muscles seemed to relax.
As he moved in and out of me, he lifted my dress over my head before throwing the frock aside. There was something so sexy about being completely naked while he was still fully clothed. His pants were hanging halfway down his legs, and his belt buckle clanked as he pounded into me. I could see our reflection in the window. He was looking down at my ass the entire time, mesmerized as he watched our bodies joined together. He wouldn't take his eyes off of it. His palm was firmly planted on my ass cheek to guide the movements of his thrusts, his nails inadvertently digging into my skin. He began to suck on his finger, and before I could wonder what he was doing, I felt it inside of my ass as he continued to penetrate me with his cock at the same time. No one had ever done that to me before, and while his finger there felt foreign, the pleasure derived from the double penetration was incredible. He pushed it inside slowly until it was all the way in. I let out a long breath.
"You like that, huh? When we have more time, we'll try it the other way around. I want to fuck that ass so badly, but we need time for that."
I simply moaned in agreement, too turned on by what he was doing to form words. He pulled his finger out. He was now holding onto my ass with both hands, spreading it apart with his thumbs as he fucked me harder and faster.
"I love the way your ass jiggles when I'm pounding into it," he slapped me. "Fucking beautiful."
My muscles tightened every time he'd open his mouth. I'd always loved to be talked to during sex. But his dirty, gravelly voice was the sexiest I'd ever heard. Every single time he'd speak, my muscles would spasm.
"Tighten against my cock like that again."
I clenched around him.
"Fuck, that feels good," he growled. "I want you to do that when I'm coming inside you."
I wanted him to spank me again. I never imagined the pressure of his hand would feel so good. But it did. What was happening to me? My voice was throaty when I said, "Slap my ass again." He obliged, and when he struck me this time, the sting of his hand was perfect. Everything about this experience was unlike anything I'd ever felt before, from the skin-to-skin contact to the forceful way he fucked me. He'd broken through a barrier of pleasure that I didn't know I was capable of feeling. I didn't know how I was going to live without this now that I knew what it was like. I could feel his body trembling at my back.
"I need to come. Tell me when you're close," he said into my ear.
I watched his face in the reflection, and now, instead of looking down, he was looking straight at my face. "I'm coming," I said, as I tightened my muscles like he'd wanted.
"Fuck. Oh, God, Amelia, that feels... Oh, shit, I'm coming."
He groaned out, then muttered low, "Yeah, baby, I'm coming. So good, so fucking good."
Warm cum filled me as I continued to squeeze around his cock. Justin stayed inside of me, fucking me slowly long after he came, kissing my back softly. Shit. I don't know what that is that you do when you tense your pussy around me, but I'm gonna be jerking off to it for the next 4 months. What was that we just did? I asked facetiously. That didn't feel like just sex. That was far too incredible. That was a decade's worth of frustration barreling out of me, baby. You're so good, Justin. It was worth the wait. He slowly pulled out of me and turned me around, planting a firm kiss on my lips. We have 40 minutes. What are we gonna do? I need you again. My eyes widened. Can you go again so soon? With you? I could go all night. No one's ever made me lose control like that. That's how it should feel every single damn time. Like it's all that matters in the world. I couldn't give a shit if the world is crumbling around me when I'm inside of you. We smiled at each other, and the streetlights from outside shined into his beautiful blue eyes. 40 minutes wasn't long enough. To squelch the dread creeping in, I took off his shirt and began to kiss his chest softly. This time is going to be different, okay? He said. I simply nodded, anxiously awaiting his direction. He stripped out of his underwear, and I could see his dick was still gloriously hard, glistening with arousal. Lie down, Amelia. Admiring his chiseled body, I lay on the bed and backed up against the headboard. When he turned on the small desk lamp, I asked, "What are you doing?" "I want to look at you for a while. Is that okay?" I nodded. "Yes." "Spread your legs apart," he demanded. Justin kneeled at the foot of the bed as he took in the sight of me. "So sexy. Seeing you wide open like that with my cum dripping out of you. Fuck, Amelia." He breathed out as he started to jerk himself off. He looked down at his engorged shaft. "I'm ready to go again. This is fucking crazy." "We don't have a lot of time. I need you inside of me again." "Touch yourself for a little bit." I positioned my fingertips at my clit and began to circle them around. The room was so quiet, except for the slick sound of his cock moving against his hand. "Open wider, Amelia." Spreading my knees further apart, I had to curb the need to come. "You ready?" he asked.
"Yes,"
I whispered. This time, when he sunk into me, it was slow and controlled. He stopped when he was fully inside, and just stayed there without moving for a while. "How the fuck am I going to be able to leave you after this?" When he picked up the pace again, it felt better than ever. Not only because of the pressure of his weight on top of me, but because we were both fully naked, our skin rubbing together. The room was cold, but the heat of his body warmed me. I held onto his ass, pushing him deeper into me as he circled his hips. His breathing matched the rhythm of his movements. When my orgasm suddenly rolled through me, he must have been able to feel it, because he also came without warning, grunting loudly in my ear. There was no sweeter sound than the noises he made when he came. He collapsed over me and said, "Thank you for giving this to me. It's the only thing that's going to get me through the rest of this time away." Looking at the time shown on my phone, I felt sick. We had 10 minutes before we had to drive back to the bus. It was odd to feel sated and scared at the same time. He'd left my body completely satisfied, yet my heart was still yearning for more. It just wanted to hear those 3 words so desperately. When we arrived to his bus, I gripped his black jacket, unable to let him go. After what we'd just done, my attachment to him was stronger than ever. It felt more impossible to let him go now than it ever had before.
I want you to meet the crew before we leave.
Although I wasn't feeling very social, I said, okay. Justin brought me inside the bus. A bunch of guys were sitting around eating pieces of a gigantic apple pie that looked like it was from Costco. It smelled like a mixture of coffee and beer. Justin went down the line, introducing me to each crew member. They were all super nice and down to earth. I didn't have a chance to meet Calvin Sprocket since he was on the other bus. A few minutes later, the one person I'd dreaded meeting the most finally made her appearance.
"Is everyone accounted for?"
Olivia asked, holding a walkie-talkie. Justin looked at me and whispered,
"That's Olivia."
He didn't realize I'd already known what she looked like from my stalking. I was starting to feel nauseous, and it only got worse with each step she took toward us. With luxurious dark hair and a megawatt smile, she was even prettier than her pictures. I fucking hated her.
"I see we have an extra passenger," Olivia said.
Seeming to lose my ability to speak, I smiled like a fool without saying anything.
"Olivia, this is my girlfriend, Amelia," Justin said.
"Girlfriend?" The fear inside of me began to slowly evaporate. He hadn't said the L word, but he'd finally given me the validation that I so desperately needed, especially now with him leaving again.
Olivia hadn't seemed too surprised.
"It's nice to finally meet you, Amelia."
"Likewise," I smiled.
"Are you coming with us to Philly?"
she asked.
"No.
I have a baby girl at home, so I'm not able to travel."
"That's right. Justin showed me her picture."
It further calmed me to know that he'd also spoken to her about Bea.
"Well, it was nice meeting you," Olivia said before giving Justin a slight look of warning. "Buses are leaving in 5.
Waiting for her to get out of earshot, I said, "So that's Olivia."
"Yep."
"She sleeps on the other bus?"
"Yeah. The tour manager goes on the main bus."
He smiled, examining my expression and seeming amused at my transparent relief. He nudged at my dress, and my nipples immediately perked up.
"Let's get you a jacket,"
Justin said.
"Then I'm going to tell the driver to hold up while I accompany you to the car. I don't want you walking alone."
Justin retrieved one of his black hoodies and held it open for me. I zipped it up, loving the smell of his cologne that saturated it. He led me by the hand across the VIP lot to the regular parking area. Justin gazed into my eyes as we stopped in front of my car. He held me tightly as he buried his nose in my hair.
"You're lucky we don't have any more time. I'd take you right against this car."
"I'd let you."
"Thank you for tonight, Amelia. You were amazing. I'm gonna fucking miss you so much."
I spoke against his chest. "Can I ask you something?"
"Yeah."
"When did you decide I was your girlfriend?"
He looked up at the sky and hesitated, as if he had to really ponder it.
His answer wasn't what I was expecting. "The matinee show of El Amor Duele at the Little Red Theater circa 2005. I wasn't even paying attention to the movie.
You were really into it. I was really into you. You didn't realize I was staring at you the whole time. You were so enthralled with the movie that you didn't even notice that you'd finished your popcorn. You kept shoveling it into your mouth. Without your knowing, I replaced your empty bucket with my full one. You just kept eating. I decided at that moment that whether you knew it or not, you were my girlfriend.
I kept telling myself that after the show, I was finally gonna make you aware of that fact, too."
"What happened?"
He shrugged his shoulders. "I chickened out."
We both laughed and could see our breaths colliding in the cold air. Justin looked down at his phone.
Shit, they're texting me to hurry up. I have to go.
All right. He pulled me into him as tightly as he could and planted one final kiss on my lips.
I'm gonna miss you so much. Thank you again for coming.
He wriggled his brows.
And for coming again. And for letting me come.
As I giggled against his lips, he said,
You are so amazing.
Call me tomorrow.
Be careful driving home.
Okay.
He lingered, then said, It's never been that way for me. Never felt that way with anyone else.
I loved hearing that. Me neither. Our hands stayed intertwined until the pull of his walking away naturally ripped our fingers apart.
Justin ran across the lot.
I got into my car and turned on the heat. I stayed idling until the two buses pulled out and disappeared from sight. Later that night, I'd just arrived back at the beach house when my phone chimed with a text from Justin.
All that time I spent mad at you. I could have been fucking you.
What a dumbass.
Chapter 20. The hardest days with Justin gone were those leading up to the holidays. This was going to be Bia's first Christmas, and we'd be spending it without him. Justin's tour had made its way out west. He would be performing two shows in Los Angeles, one on Christmas Eve and one on Christmas Day. So there was no way that he could sneak any time away to come home. After those gigs, the band would only remain in the U.S. for another week before flying to Europe, where the tour would continue until they returned to America in the spring. It made me tired just thinking about all of the traveling he was doing. I had to give Justin credit, though. He'd stuck to his word about Skyping every other day with us. As much as I looked forward to those chats, it was getting harder and harder to be away from him. As the days went on, so had the fresh memory of our time together in Massachusetts. The reassurance that night had given me was slowly being replaced by fear and insecurity again with each day that passed. While I trusted him more after we'd made love, he still hadn't told me he loved me. In my mind, that meant that nothing was set in stone. Couple that with the fact that he would be away for over a dozen more weeks, and that made for one paranoid girlfriend. It was 2 days before Christmas. Bia and I were invited to an ugly sweater party over at Roger and Susan's house. Justin had called earlier to say they'd just arrived in California. I was grateful for the distraction that the party would bring. At least for a couple of hours, it would prevent me from sulking in front of the Christmas tree at the beach house. I'd gone to a local thrift store and bought a hideous red sweater with little Christmas bulbs sewn into the front. I'd even managed to find an ugly Christmas sweater onesie online for Bia. So we were all ready for the festivities. The temperature was frigid as I bundled Bia up and ran across to the neighbor's house, which was lit up in multicolored lights. An inflatable snowman blew in the wind out front. Living near the water in the middle of winter was less than ideal. Carrying some freshly baked sugar cookies, I knocked on the door with my foot, since I had no extra hands. Roger opened the door. "Amelia, you made it. Susan wasn't sure if you were coming." "I wouldn't miss it," I said, handing him the plate of cookies. "Is Susan in the kitchen?" "She is. You're the first one here." "Figures," I grinned. "I have the shortest commute." Just as I was about to head to see Susan, Roger's voice stopped me. "Hey, Amelia."
"Yes?"
"Since Susan's been back, we really haven't had a chance to talk. I've always felt a little strange about not telling you myself about us getting back together."
"You didn't owe me any explanation. I already explained to her that nothing happened between you and me."
"I know you did. I'm really happy that you two have become friends. And I want you to know that I was truly grateful for your friendship, too.
at a time when I really needed it.
I'm really happy for you guys.
Thank you. He paused.
What about you?
What about me?
Roger tilted his head. Are you happy?
I am. Just a little lonely with Justin gone.
You know, you used to tell me that there was nothing going on between the two of you.
At the time, there wasn't. I'd always had feelings for him, though.
He's coming back, right? After the tour?
Yes.
Is that what he wants to do with his life? Be a touring musician? Live on the road?
I'm not sure if that's how it's always going to be. He works in software sales, but that's not his dream. Music is his dream. This was a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity, so he had to take it.
Who's he on tour with again?
Calvin Sprocket.
Wow. Yeah, that's pretty big stuff.
It is.
After a bit of awkward silence, Roger asked, Are any of those guys still married?
You mean Calvin and his band?
Yeah.
I had to think about it. Now that you mention it, I don't think they are.
Roger hung up my coat as he said, I suppose marriage doesn't really mesh with sex, drugs, and rock and roll. Not to mention constantly traveling. You know, things had never been harder for me than when I was physically away from Susan and Alyssa. I don't know too much about Justin, but it seems like he's very fond of Bea. If he wants to be a father to her, absenteeism really doesn't work. I figured that out the hard way, and that was without the additional complication of fame.
I don't think he's figured out whether he wants kids.
Well, don't you think it's time he did, if he wants to be with you?
Roger must have sensed that he was stressing me out.
I'm sorry, Amelia. I'm just looking out for you.
I appreciate that. But I'm just looking for eggnog tonight. Nothing more complicated than that, all right?
Closing his eyes briefly in understanding, he chuckled and said, You got it. Let me grab some for you.
Through the muffled laughter of their guests, who were dressed in a rainbow of ugly sweaters, my thoughts kept me distracted. Even though my conversation with Roger had long ended, I'd spent the remainder of the party pondering everything he'd said. It was nothing I didn't already worry about, but hearing the concern come from someone else, someone who understood the long-term responsibilities of fatherhood, was eye-opening. Back at the house later that night, I rocked Bea to sleep in front of the tree to the sounds of a children's choir CD of Christmas carols. Earlier in the week, I'd wrapped some presents and placed them under the tree. They were all for Bea and included a small box that Justin had shipped to her to be opened on Christmas morning. I didn't need anything this year. Bea was my Christmas gift. She was the greatest gift from God and had taught me more about unconditional love than anyone or anything else ever had. She'd given me a purpose. I kissed her head softly, vowing to always be there for her, no matter what happened with Justin. I vowed to be the type of mother that I never had. Still in my Christmas sweater, I placed a sleeping Bea in her crib, taking a moment to look around and admire Justin's handiwork in the nursery. Back in my room, I couldn't sleep. I'd just nodded off when my phone chimed, waking me up.
You asleep?
Amelia.
Wide awake now.
Justin. Will you call me? I don't know if Bea is near you and don't want to wake her.
He picked up on the first ring after I dialed him.
Hey, beautiful.
Hi.
His voice sounded sleepy. I woke you, didn't I?
Yes, but it's okay. I'd rather speak to you than sleep.
Where are you? I'm at the hotel in Los Angeles. We're off the buses till Christmas night.
That must be a nice change, getting to sleep in a real bed.
It only reminds me that you're not here with me.
I wish I were.
It's really bugging me that I can't be with you guys for Christmas.
I don't understand why they don't give you Christmas off.
Calvin's always done Christmas shows. It's sort of his tradition. It sucks.
You'd think none of these people have families. I feel bad for the crew members with kids.
It doesn't really ever end, does it?
Justin sounded confused by my comment.
What in particular?
I mean, this tour will end,